This is All Things Psychic, a weekly podcast with two psychic mediums where we answer your questions and share our experiences about all things psychic. Send your questions to us at allthingspsychicpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram at allthingspsychicofficial.
Yay! Yesterday.
Okay. Oh my gosh. You.
Hey, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome.
Welcome back.
It's been a few minutes since our last podcast. We've both had very, very full and abundant life things happening for us. So yeah. We are excited to be back. And today we have a guest. Her name is Susie Kerr Wright from Nashville, Tennessee. And she is like kinfolk to us.
Yes, we had some
psychic
time.
Medium and life coach, tons of knowledge about astrology and tarot. So we're really excited to interview another psychic. And we're just going to start asking some questions. Welcome, Susie. We're glad you're here.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much. You guys are adorable.
Oh, geez.
I'm enjoying interacting with you. It's really, really nice to meet you. And thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it very much.
You are so welcome.
Yeah. You are so welcome. So, I think we're more excited.
I know. So Nashville, Tennessee, what type of like spiritual development groups and how have you been supported there with the work that you're doing?
Oh, here in Nashville? Wow. So it's, you know, it's been super interesting because I've been here 23 years now. I moved around a whole lot. So I've lived in several different places in my life, and I'm originally from Boston. So that's why I don't have a Southern accent, but my husband does. We've been married almost 20 years now. He is born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee. He's what they call a unicorn because like nobody's from here anymore.
Oh.
So he's a rare one. When I came here for music, and you know, I always did psychic work on the side. I mean, I've always done it. And I'll tell you, it was like, you couldn't really talk about it. Like you couldn't, you know, when I first got here, I got involved with a church. I was invited to, this was so weird what happened. I was invited to learn, it was a radio broadcast this church did. It was a cowboy church. And a friend of mine I had met at a singing contest said, you need to come to church with me on Sunday. It's really fun. And I was like, okay, you know, I had nothing going on. And so I went, and the person that was doing the production, he said, you want to learn how to run the radio portion of this? And I was like, oh yeah, put me in a booth. Like I'm all about that, you know? So he said, show up here 9:30 next week and you know, we'll start training you on the broadcast. And so I was like, cool. And the next week I showed up and they were short a singer. And he said, you sing, don't you?
Oh my gosh.
And for 2 years, I was like with the OK Corral, get it? in Cowboy Church. And so, but I, you know, in my spare time, you know, I was still doing charts and reading cards and doing things for people, you know, just kind of on a part-time basis. And there were some people that found out at the church that I was doing that. And I'm telling you, they never spoke to me again. When they found out, I mean, it was like they recoiled from me. And now that's the extreme, you know, version of it. But for the most part, when I got here, you know, 23 years ago, it was like, you just didn't talk about this stuff. It wasn't really big. There was one store that existed, really dear friend of mine, Tish Owen, owned the store. It's called Goddess and the Moon, and it was tucked away in this little neighborhood and had very little stuff, but she had everything you needed. It was one of those places that, like, it looks empty and you go, like, what's in here? But, like, if you asked if she had something, she had it. It was there. You just didn't see it.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. It was kind of like a real magical little store, yeah.
Your oasis. So,
yeah. And so I found that place. And actually, I'm wrong. There were two stores. It was her store, and then there was another one called Magical Journey. And Magical Journey was more of, like, it was more atypical of what you see now, you know, the big metaphysical store. But I mean, they were, like, harassed by people. They were, like, it was ugly. And in the last 20-plus years, I have watched this city explode. There was, I'm sharing you all the details. I mean, at one point, I think we had 7 metaphysical stores in town here. And everyone was thriving. And then, of course, you know, things shook out and some closed and different ones opened. And now, you know, we've got a good, we've got probably 3 really strong ones now and a few little extraneous small ones. So it's been incredible to see this stuff, I'm using air finger quotes, you know, this stuff kind of take over in the Bible Belt and more people, you know, coming to terms with their own spirituality and their own sense of awareness of their, you know, their intuitive abilities. I mean, it's pretty awesome to watch. You know, the fact that I can work in this environment openly and freely and consistently. I mean, since I went full time 14 years ago, I've literally never looked back. I mean, this is what I do, and it's just been amazing.
So awesome.
That is really cool.
It made me think about, like, you know, things really amped up here during quarantine. And then New York Times wrote an article on quarantining with ghosts.
Ghosts, because everybody was like, stuck inside. What?
Like, New York Times started coming out with, you know, I just saw this last year really brought a lot of people out. And so we did a podcast about quarantining with ghosts.
Well, and then that's when we got together. We're just like, oh my gosh, you know, everybody's got so much time on their hands. They're going inward.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it was really cool because at the beginning of quarantine, I started going online. I have a little group, Facebook page I started. And I would go on in the morning and just talk to, like, a handful of people that would pop on, you know, about 8:30 in the morning. And what I started noticing was, you know, as I was asking, like, how's everybody doing? And just, you know, I was just kind of there for support, you know? And I noticed that people were syncing up with the moon cycles. Like, our collective moods were starting to agree, I guess you could say, you know.
Wow.
And it wasn't just in this group, because I started noticing it in the group, and then I started putting things out there on my bigger pages, and, you know, and started getting a lot more feedback from people, and it was pretty wild. We got in touch with our natural selves last year.
Whoa.
It was really a powerful time for a lot of people.
Yes,
in a good way.
Yes.
Know?
Yeah.
And I hope people get to hang on to that and remember that it, you know, it's just to remember that they have that ability. Everybody has this ability to connect.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
And it does take a quieting.
And just to live in this zone and vibration is so much more fun than the other one.
Yeah.
The work world.
So, Susie, how old, like, when did you first discover that you had gifts?
I kind of jokingly, but seriously, the only way I can answer that is I was always like this.
Uh-huh.
I was never not like this. I was that kid, like, you know, back when I was growing up, you know, Ouija boards were really popular, and, you know, kids, we went through toys like crazy, right? You know, we'd have one toy this week and one toy next week. Well, I never stopped playing with the Ouija board. Like,
wow.
You know, my favorite thing to do with my friends was have seances. Like, I, as much as, you know, I had, it was like I had two distinct sides. I had this side of me that loved music, and music was my life, and the other part was like, you know, music is my life, but I'm going to tell you, like, who you really are and what's happening to you. And, like, I could see through stuff, you know? And it was, like, it's just always been who I've been. Like, you know, I said, like, everybody has access to this. Everybody is born into it.
Yes.
Everybody has the ability yes. to do these things. But not everybody, it's not going to be everybody's calling to go into this work. And so, and that's where I just feel like this was always my calling. I tried to avoid it, you know, and keep it to the side or keep it over in the corner. But it really, you know, doing what I do today and knowing how comfortable I am in this, this wasn't a choice I made. This was where I was always going to be.
Yeah.
At some point, you know?
That's so, were you supported by your family?
Not really, you know, and sadly, I hate it because, you know, my mom's been gone several years now, but there was so much more that I wanted to ask her about this, because I know that she had, she was extremely clairvoyant,
yes.
but she didn't like it. She said, you know, when I start seeing those things that happen, I just pray them away. And I'm like, do you realize, like, you know, we could be like a mother and daughter psychic team. Here.
Oh my gosh. I ask my daughters all the time. Like, I have two daughters and they're both gifted. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we could be something. They're like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, my mom had no interest in it. And I'm pretty sure my grandmother had a lot of that going on too, but it was never talked about. It was never supported. Well, again, you know, you think about like when I was doing all of this, when I first got interested in it, you know, it was a time where like it wasn't mainstream. It wasn't popular like it is now. Astrology was kind of popular, but you know, that was like what the hippie people did, you know?
Yes,
exactly.
And, you know, and it was enjoying like some popularity back in the 70s, but all this other stuff was like, it just, you know, you didn't talk about it. You know, I mean, I my favorite place to go when I was a kid was Salem, Massachusetts, you know?
Wow.
And yeah, I got my first deck of tarot cards there.
Oh.
But I had no one to teach me. I had no one to explain this stuff. I read a lot of books. Oh, can I tell you a cool story?
Yes. Yes.
And I might drop a name, but I'm really not a name dropper, I promise. So I had this friend, and I've known her for years, and she's recently gotten in a famous TV show now. She's in the Holzer Files. And so the first night I was going to watch her on the show, I was so excited, you know, her TV show's coming on the air, and I'm like, yay, you know, we're going to see Cindy, she's going to be so great. And they start out the show. Have you seen it? Do you know what the Holzer Files is?
No, I want to, though.
I'm going to watch it.
It's one of the best paranormal shows ever. It's they reopened. There was a man named Hans Holzer who did paranormal investigations all through like the 50s and 60s, I guess.
Okay.
And all the way up through the 80s, actually, now that I think about it. Anyways, he recorded things. He had these audio tapes and you know, photographs and things from his investigation. This team reopens those cases and
reinvestigates
them.
Oh, cool.
And so anyways, it's an amazing show, and I love my friend, and I'm just so happy for her to have all these like amazing blessings in her life with being on the show. And at the first night we were watching it, they start out the show, and they show clips from some of Holzer's video, and one of them is somebody named Sybil Leek. She was a medium, an astrologer and a medium back in the day, and she's from England, and Hans Holzer used her a lot on his investigation. And I got so excited about seeing Sybil Leek, it was like I almost forgot my friend was on the show. And I'm like, Sybil Leek, I've never seen Sybil Leek. Sybil Leek was, and I tell you that whole funny story because Sybil Leek was one of the first people who did what I did, like that I was ever aware of. She was an astrologer, hardcore astrologer, really, you know, understood astrology, and a medium.
And, oh my gosh.
And I read everything I could by her. I read it over and over and over. And, you know, she didn't have a lot of books on or anything, you know, but she was somewhat of a celebrity in the UK. And so, yeah, so it was, she was really who I, you know, started this journey with, you know. And I had never ever seen her like live. I'd seen pictures of her, but that's why I get so excited when the holes and piles. I was like, "Shut a leak! Oh my god!
Oh my god! that's a great story. So, I love that."
Glad to my friend, but generally,
yeah, because
yeah, I texted her and I said, "Did you know Shevel Lee was the one who got me and all this stuff? Are you watching my show?" Yes.
We just need to have one catalyst, you know, that kind of we get to hop off the platform and try it out. And I love that she was yours.
Yeah, she was really, she was quite good. And so, yeah, so I mean, you know, and just as people came out and, you know, life went on. I mean, of course, I read more and read, and I was self-taught for many, many years. And when I finally found teachers to kind of guide me, it was the late 80s, early 90s. And mm-hmm. So there was a lot that I had to unlearn.
Yes.
Astrology-wise. And so, but I've just, you know, I'm constantly studying and constantly learning, and you yes. know, I'll never stop. It's a lifelong passion.
Yeah, totally. I agree with you. I'm constantly reading and trying to learn and talking to Julie, seeing what new things she knows.
Yep. So I wanted, like, what was the most like haunted place that you lived in?
Oh, I had PTSD every time I think about it.
Oh, really?
I actually lived in, I don't know if it was so much the house that was haunted or the land. I think it was more the land that we were in. It was in New Jersey.
Oh.
And this place was teeming with spirits. And now here's the thing about that, though. With hauntings, right? I mean, your average hauntings, let's call them average hauntings. You know, we're talking like not poltergeist, not demonic,
right.
Just your average hauntings, right?
Right.
Because there are those. This was, with those, what happens is the people in the house hold the energy and support the energy of the haunting. And so, realizing that, I mean, it took me many years to figure this out, but it was one of the most terrifying places I've ever lived. And a good part of why the activity was so strong was because of the circumstances that I was living in. You know, I mean, it was a rough time in my life. Let's put it that way.
Oh, and, sure, sure. Yep.
That would invite it too.
Exactly. And so, but I was not the only one that saw things and felt things. And there was a point, there was a friend that stayed at our house. We were out of town. And when we saw him again after he'd stayed at the house, he said, "I'm never coming back there." And I'm like, "What happened?" He goes, "We had a big, this will tell you the year, around the period of time that this happened. We had a big red corduroy sectional couch, right?"
Oh, God.
Did you say 70s?
Yeah, 70s.
And this guy had taken all the cushions and piled them up behind him, and he sat and he brought all the ends. He sat on the floor surrounded by the couch, like a fort that he built, because he was so terrified to sleep in that house. And he said he watched the spirits running between the kitchen and the dining area around this wall, and it was insane. Like he was terrified. And he didn't, of course, you know, a lot of people didn't tell me what they had experienced until after I'd left there. And you know, it was years later. But I mean, some of the things that I saw and felt were just terrifying. It was like, it was at one point, it was almost as if like I heard it on the baby monitor. There was, we didn't have a baby, but there was this intercom system between the basement and the bedroom.
Okay.
And I was in the bedroom one night, and it sounded like an entire army was marching through that house. And I literally, I had to run through this one room. The bedroom was in the back of the house. It was weird. House. I had to run through this big room to get to the front door to get out. And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I heard the army, is all I can call it, marching. And I heard it on the intercom. And I was like, what is going on? And then I heard it moving up towards the bedroom. And I literally just held my breath and I screamed at the top of my lungs. And I ran through that room out of the bedroom and out the front door. And I don't even remember when I made the phone call, but somehow I made a phone call to get a cab because we didn't have cell phones. And and a cab came to pick me up. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, take me to this other place, you know?
Yeah.
And he's driving away real slow and he's looking back at the house and I'm like, get the F out of here. What are you doing? He said, I've never seen a haunted house.
Just get out of here.
Oh my God.
Wow. So you
horrifying.
Oh my God.
And honestly, you know, again, it was simply things from the land.
Yeah.
It was settlers, it was Native Americans, it was all of these different things kind of coming together. But we were holding the space for all of that kind of intense, you know, I don't want to say negative, it really wasn't negative, it just felt like that to me.
Right.
But this intense energy. But there were battles on that ground, and there were things, you know, during the wars and stuff. So yeah, it was pretty traumatized. And let me tell you this, almost 40 years later, I reconnected on Facebook with the man I was living with at the time when that happened. And I said, let me ask you something. You know, we were catching up and I said, let me ask you something. I said, was I crazy or was that house haunted? And he goes, yeah, you were crazy, but that house was effing haunted.
Oh my God.
40 years later, I get the ultimate vindication.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How scary. Gosh.
Especially when it's connected to the land, because the house can be kind of like a porthole.
Portal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and if there's water by, like a stream running through, like all of that energy can just be surging through. Oh my gosh. That's just intense.
Yes. We had stuff going on in the attic. I remember calling the fence control people and going, there's something chewing through things in the attic. And they came out and it was like, there's nothing there. I'm like, there are animals in that attic. I hear them every night. And he's like, no. I mean, it was. There was some creepy crap going on in there.
Wow.
That's horrifying.
Have you ever helped a family like clear a house and help them like get a ghost or spirit out of their house?
You know, I have, and the thing about it is, and this is why I kind of preface it by saying, like, we have to understand that we hold the energy for these quote average hauntings. I really am careful about going out, like when somebody reaches out to me with, you know, hey, my house is haunted or something's going on, like, I, you know, there's a whole series of questions I ask them, there's a whole process that I go through with them to determine if this is actually like a haunting or if this is something that they're creating in their energy and they're just holding some particular energy in that space.
Smart.
You know, or,
yeah.
And so I would honestly, I don't know the statistics, and this is just my opinion, but I would say probably 99% of people who feel that they have maybe 80, let's go 80. My opinion only, about 80% of people who feel they have a haunted house are going to keep perpetuating that negative energy, that feeling of something in the house, that feeling of something bothering them or scaring them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So unless they straighten out what is going on in the family.
Yep. That's
exactly.
Yep. Yep.
I totally agree. I totally agree.
Yeah.
So we have to be aware. So that's why I don't, you know, in the beginning I was kind of like, oh, haunted house, I'll jump in the car and go out there, you know, and I started realizing like these people don't want to get rid of this energy. They're just perpetuating it. and I'm not going to keep jumping in the car and running out to save people.
Right, totally.
So there's a lot of steps that people can do, and you know, and for that large group of people that are willing to let go and release that, you know, smudging is everything, people. It will get rid of so much, you know. It will clear the energy in so many ways. And most, you know, most situations where people think they have to have a whole investigative team come out and set up overnight and do this, you know, this can be solved by simply lighting a bundle of sage.
I was going to ask, is that your go-to?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
It absolutely is, because it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, a lot of times I've found, you know, it's just stuck energy. It might be something that you brought in the house. Like, oh, have you been to the thrift store? Yeah, we bought this couch. It's like, did you smudge it? No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know.
That's
right. Oh, I know. We've talked about this
before.
Yeah,
one of our podcasts, we talked about clearing what you, and having the responsibility of, you know, clearing that energy and not inviting it into the house.
Mm-hmm.
Mirrors, kitchen aprons, whatever you're getting at the thrift store, clothing. Yeah. To make sure that is being taken care of responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And that will save a lot. And, you know, and the other thing that happens too that I find is that sometimes, you know, you got to realize once you hear something that goes bump in the night, your senses are firing, your adrenaline is pumping, your hearing is heightened, your eyesight is sharper, your feels are all wild, right? They're like, you're in heightened sensitivity mode, right?
So
everything you hear or feel is going to feel like it's bigger and worse than it is. So, you know, when you get that going on too, that can get confusing, you know. It's like it only takes one person in the family to get scared and everyone else is going to pick up on it.
Yeah.
Totally.
So.
Yeah, that I love that.
That's true.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, Susie, we're going to start to wrap it up, but I wanted to make sure everyone has your information.
Yeah.
To look at your website.
And contact you for readings and services, and especially all of our friends in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Shout out to Shastin Boogie, who lives there. She's one of our fans.
Awesome. Yeah, they can. You can reach me through my website. I have kind of everything out on the website.
Good.
But I also have Facebook and Instagram. But my website is astrogirl12.com. And that's, and don't forget the 12, it's astrogirl12.com.
Okay.
And they can, you know, you can schedule appointments online until, as I said, right now until further notice. I don't know when somebody might be listening to this, but it will say when you go to my website to book, it'll say whether I'm doing in person or not. But everything's virtual right now, so. And you can book online. It's got all the information about all my appointments and, you know, the different things that I do, the different readings I do. And then I'm also on Facebook at, it's Astro Girl Susie, that's Suzie. And on Instagram, it's Astro Girl 12, Astro Girl 12 dot Music City Medium.
Ooh.
All right.
I like that. Yes.
Astro Girl 12 at Music City Medium.
Astro Girl 12 dot Music City Medium.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, it's like a double name. So, and that's Instagram. And so any of those places you can reach me. I do a free horoscope, weekly horoscope that you can subscribe to. You can get that on my website. And it comes out every Monday. And
love that.
I'm around. Would love to talk to you. Do mediumship or, you know, psychic readings, whatever you want. You can do spiritual assessments, which is where we talk about your own spirituality and where you're at and how you can kind of work best with your skills and talents and to really hone in on your own intuitive abilities. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Awesome. This is great. Thanks.
This has been so fantastic.
I know. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. We are so grateful to get connected with you and to help you get connected with our people and all of it.
Thank you for the opportunity so much. It's really been it's been so much fun talking to you guys. You just, like I said, you're adorable, and I wish you all the best in everything. And I hope to connect with you again.
Yeah, let's do it.
Absolutely, me too.
Good. All right, love. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.